many of the ideas I wanted to share with you have just been addressed by Dr. McKenzie, and I am afraid that the most visible difference to you will be that my English is poor. But I hope you will find some other ones too. You could expect from me, as a chairman of the IFP, which is a research institute about dedicated to hydrocarbons, to talk about nothing else than oil and gas. But I was given the task to cover global energy, at least I have understood that. And so I have to extend my modest contribution to subjects beyond my main present concern. I will certainly focus on the R&D issues. By no way can we escape from the energy thirst of the world, whether better living for all is a natural and perfectly legitimate objective. Today, about 2 billion people are still deprived from access to electricity and the comfort it brings to households. Several billion people want heat, cold, and water, which is, by the way, the strategic material of the coming century. Several billion people want to have access to an easy transportation and communication system. And all these needs mean energy, clean and sustainable energy. To answer these needs and respect these constraints of cleanliness and sustainability, we cannot rely on a single source. At least today, and probably for the coming decades, a well-balanced mix of energy sources is the answer. The precaution principle is something very easily discussed among our circles. I have, in my view, a different meaning from the precaution principle, which is not all the eggs in the same basket. And you will not be surprised, coming from a Frenchman, that including among the various eggs, I definitely will put nuclear as a part of the solution. As I am a Frenchman also by birth and education, nobody is perfect, excuse me, I will make categories. And first category, the difference between the energies which are batch distributed and the ones that are stream distributed. Coal and oil are batch distributed. Gas and electricity are stream distributed. Well, why that difference and why that categories? It's because the first category does not require the costly network infrastructure the second needs. And therefore, it must prevail in low density of population areas. It must prevail also in developing countries where investment capacity is low, especially in the early stages of development. And it's the need for developed countries like ours to protect the market from having too much oil in order to let the market and the market for oil for the less developed countries. Of course, coal by nature produces the largest amount of CO2, and so we must reserve its use for central power production, where the mass production of CO2 can be sequestrated. Allow me to add a new set of two categories. And this one is the category of fixed production and consumption, on one hand, and the category of transportation in the other hand. In the first category, fixed production and consumption, nearly all the primary energies can compete. And if we want a mix, I come now to R&D. There is, for all these energies, a strong need for technological improvement in their specific and respective drawbacks. Just to mention them. For renewable, availability and costs. That needs a lot of R&D. For coal, pollution and also efficiency. Efficiency, for instance, in the power production. For oil, the main issue to me is sustainability. That means availability in the long run. For gas, has been told just before by Dr. McKenzie, the main issue is transportation costs. The main progress which could be made by R&D, by technology. For nuclear, the main technical issue out of political acceptance is waste management. Okay. In front of all these items, you can put some difficult but very inspiring R&D challenges. In the second category, transportation, the main problem is that today there is no serious alternative to oil for the time being. Finding consumers, our task is, of course, finding competitive substitutes in the future, but also producing cleaner refining products and cleaner engines. Those are the two key challenges again for R&D. To make oil a cleaner energy, two main trails. Decarbonate the oil before using it, that is avoiding producing CO2. Or decarbonate the exhaust gases. The first trail leads to the hydrogen world, a promising world, clean, efficient, provided hydrogen is produced with no CO2 emission, which again leads us to renewables and nuclear, probably. But anyway, the technology of hydrogen is still in its infancy. And the second trail, decarbonate the exhaust gases, means disposing of the CO2 after combustion. It is complex. It requires technological innovation. The success in this cleaning operation of hydrocarbons is a prerequisite to the development of new reserves. And now I come to oil and gas, and I come to that question of reserves. It is a difficult one. Exhausting oil and gas reserves probably requires a much longer time than the time to reach an unbearable situation as far as climate change is concerned. How fast will progress the research on substitute to oil? I have not an clear-cut answer to this interrogation. But I am convinced that a strong and sustained effort in R&D is the only way to get confidence in the future. And this R&D effort, of course, is the first responsibility of the market, but cannot be left to the market forces only. Governments, that is in fact the whole community of consumers, have to take a share in funding this effort. Also to make sure that those efforts are, I wouldn't say coordinated, but that some giant efforts and giant implementations are made in order to make sure that everybody who can join those efforts can come. It's, by the way, a very strong concern of the International Energy Agency, which as I happened to chair some years ago, two concerns. First, that probably the efforts in energy R&D in the developed countries are declining in terms of percentage of the GDP. And second, that it seems more and more difficult, probably for market reasons, to have those joint implementations, those joint programs, and to make sure that the efforts can be made together. Let me concentrate on technology in oil and gas industry. A few comments. First point, technology in this industry does not contribute to differentiate the product for the consumer. It's true for the refined product. It's even truer for the product of the upstream industry, the barrel of oil. These are commodities. The same for gas. Second point, our industry, many others, is subject from time to time to a technological revolution, which drastically reshapes it. We need technology to have access to new resources, to reduce costs, and to protect environment. To identify those technological steps, the first way is probably to look at where are the new reserves we want to have access to. And I will mention three areas of new reserves, and in each of those areas, some technological steps which are useful. First, the deep and ultra-deep sea. For that, the first technological step is computing power. You will be surprised to hear that. But computing power is absolutely key for exploration and exploitation of the ultra-deep sea, because drilling deeper is costly. The risk of a dry well is to be reduced as much as possible. And basin modeling, 3D seismic interpretation has to be made more reliable. That means more computing power, not only to increase the resolution of the models, but also to test more hypotheses, improving then the probabilities of success. The second technological step is materials. In the deep sea, there are two critical areas, subsea installations and the connection between the seabed and surface, risers and anchorings. For both areas, better materials are essential. Because of the huge constraints, these materials are subject to when you go deeper, but also because better materials mean safer installation and a better flow insurance. Second area for new resources, the not recovered oil. This also is a huge resource. Although the recovery factor has been improved, today we still abandon many reservoirs which with 60% or more of the oil in it. Having access to these resources, or at least to part of these resources, means two things: locating this remaining oil and moving it to the surface. Again, for that, computing power first, because locating this oil means more 4D seismic combined with more accurate reservoir simulation, and both require more computing power. Mobility of this oil, how can we restore it? To improve mobility and therefore increase the recovery factor, up to now we have used energy injection, combined or not with thermodynamic. But these technologies, in spite of their efficiency, are now entering into the decreasing yield process. We need something new. From where these new can come from, I don't know. But perhaps from life sciences. And third resource, we could open the way to heavy oil and tar sands. Huge resources, too, well identified, located for dozens of years, but never put into production on a large scale, at least in proportion with the enormity of the reserve, because recovery factors are low and the quality of the product is weak. How to improve both? Similar problem to the one I talked about before, similar solution. Answer to the question perhaps lies in the life science world. And besides that, this bridge to build between the world of life sciences and the hydrocarbons technology is much more than a simple technological step. It can be the triggering factor of a new technological revolution in the oil and gas industry. Let us see very briefly now the impact of technological steps on the other side of the equation, I mean on the demand. What is the demand, has been said before, it's more efficient energy, more efficient engines, more efficient transformation, and cleaner. The technologies which are currently developed with internal combustion engines lead to fabulous results, as a quasi-zero emission engine can be reached at acceptable cost today. Unfortunately, one problem, that's not true for CO2. That's not true for the rest of pollutants, but not for CO2. And again, we come to the necessity of working on removing CO2 before the engine or after the engine. I addressed that point before. I don't want to be late and I have to conclude. Let me summarize what I consider as the great technology trends that are shaping the future of the energy industry. First, information technology. Second, materials, including, for instance, something I have not addressed, which is supraconductors. Third, advanced sensors. And the last one that could be the source of the third technological revolution of our industry, life sciences. I thank you very much for your attention.